The National Broadcasting Company presents Earl Stanley Gardner's A Life in Your Hands. Was there a knock on the door? Did you hear the violin? When did she scream? Listen while we place A Life in Your Hands. You never know when you step from the safety of your home when you may witness a violent death and be called upon to testify as to what you saw and heard. Murder is a dark enigma that strikes fear into the heart of man. Strange, baffling, mysterious. But the darkest crime one man can invent, another man can unravel. Such a man is Jonathan Kegg, created by Earl Stanley Gardner, the world's most popular writer of mysteries, creator of Perry Mason, Doug Selby, and other outstanding characters.
Piper here, getcha, Piper here. Amusement park killer accused. Read all about it, Piper.
Give me the times, Joe.
Oh, come right up, Mr. Kegg. There you are.
Keep the change.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Say, there's a picture on the front page of the dispatch, Mr. Kegg. Don't you want a copy of that?
No thanks, Joe.
Old stuff, huh? One killer down and plenty more to go. I read about you questioning all those people at the trial. Sure was something, huh?
A man was almost given the death sentence for a murder he didn't commit.
Yeah, close call for him. What are you working on now, Mr. Kegg?
A quiet evening and a night's sleep.
That's all I ever get. Day after day. Oh, wish something big had happened to me.
You never know, Joe. You never know when you may be called upon to testify to an act of violence in which you have become involved quite innocently. Why, Joe, even now, somewhere in the city, there may be a crime in the making.
Randolph! Randolph! Are you in there? Randolph, it's Kramer!
Wait a minute. What do you want?
Didn't you hear me yelling for you downstairs?
I was asleep.
Sleeping off your drunk last night, huh?
None of your business why I sleep.
I keep a good rooming house. You want to stay, you come home night sober and quiet. Somebody's calling you on the phone. It's a woman.
Well, why you not say so? I wait for her.
You can talk down at the end of the hall.
Who will listen to what I say?
Nobody's paying any attention to your business. I'll hang up when I get downstairs. Gino! Shut that thing off. Go on up the third floor with it.
Yes, sir.
Keep it quiet while I'm talking on the telephone.
I cleaned the horn.
Find something else to do. Now, the phone's on the wall, there.
Well, why are you waiting, Ali? You want to hear what I say?
No concern of mine. Get your talking over quick. Don't tie up the line.
This is Captain Mendo speaking.
Dean Harling, Mr. Mendo. Your letter came today. I'm interested in your proposition.
I thought you would be interested, Miss Harling.
Is it genuine?
I know the old man in San Barbados who keep it for almost 100 years.
Tell me, why are you offering it to me?
You are a crazy woman who will pay more than treasure is worth to find it. This would be a little game you have never played.
Where is the place you want me to meet you?
At the waterfront, 708 Kinnaid Street.
I have no idea where that is.
You will find it. Come at 9 o'clock tonight.
Oh, I can't possibly. I have other plans.
I will show you the map at 9 o'clock. Ask for Capitan Mendoz or come to my room, 301. It will be a pleasure to see you again, Miss Harling. Adios.
Gino! Gino, turn off the sweeper! I said turn it off! Where were you when Mendoz was talking on the phone?
I go to third floor like you tell me.
You're lying.
No, it is true.
You weren't running the machine.
But it would not go.
You listened to what he said, didn't you?
I work. I do not listen.
Was he talking about the map?
I could not hear what he say.
You're lying. I'll find out what you know if I have to break it.
My arm. You hurt my arm.
Talk. Is it the map?
See the map.
Who's the woman?
The name is Harling.
Our old man's the banker. What did Mendoza tell her?
He say she come here at 9 o'clock and buy map if she want it.
If she'd buy it from him, she'll buy it from me.
That's all I know. Mm. Let go of my arm. You hurt me.
I'll let go. Now, get up on your feet. Keep working if you want to stay around here.
I work.
You tell Mendoza this happened now.
I not tell.
You'd better not. Keep your big mouth shut. Your ears open. When I ask you something, answer me. You catch on?
I catch on. I catch on.
I can't talk any longer, Betty. I just can't. Well, now that you've heard about it, will you go? Why not? I think it's the most exciting thing that ever happened. We'll fly down to Miami to pick up a cabin cruiser and take everybody we know and some shovels. What is not silly? Oh, to some waterfront rooming house. Well, of course, alone. Don't worry, I'll carry a hatpin. Look, Betty, it's almost 9 o'clock. You think over the cruise, and I'll call you when I get back with my treasure map. Goodbye.
Well, Captain Mendoza, how are you tonight?
Move out of my way.
Going out to eat, Captain?
What I do is my business. Stand away from the door, let me through.
270 pounds, Captain. If you want to try pushing me around, help yourself. You don't want to try, huh? Well, I'm glad you don't. It's no use us fighting. You know, I think it's about time we had a friendly talk. Got acquainted.
I have nothing to say.
Come on into my room and sit down.
I have nothing to say.
You've had a change since last night. You were talking loud and long then.
I go up to eat.
Whatever you say. Tell me where you're going to be, Mendoza, and I'll send over the immigration officer to pick you up. Surprise you, huh?
Oh, you know that I...
Come on in where we can talk. Never can tell who's listening out here in the hall. Here. A chair for you. Sit down. You sure had a time last night. I know now why you were laughing so hard about that freighter, the Edgemont. I talked to the third mate on her today. He tells me they didn't know they had a passenger this last trip.
I stay in my cabin.
Hid in a lifeboat. Smuggled yourself ashore.
I leave tomorrow. I do not stay.
I can't blame you for sneaking into the country. The customs inspectors might have asked questions about a treasure map.
You know the map?
Sit down, Mendoza.
No, I leave this place.
That woman is coming to buy it tonight. Why don't you let me talk to her?
No.
I'll make a better deal for you. Get you twice what you want, and take my share for not turning you into the police. Seems to me like that's a good...
I have a knife, Signor Kramer.
Get away from me.
You speak to the police, and when I leave this country, I will leave this knife with you, Senor.
My friend, wunderbar, wunderbar. Like the nights we spend in the park in the old country, hmm? The music, the talk, good friends together. It's so good to see you and hear you play, Hermann.
Yeah, Franz, yeah.
Again, Hermann. Play again for your old friends.
But the neighbors. I worry about the other people in the hotel. They try to sleep, maybe.
At 9 o'clock at night? They do not sleep so early.
Perhaps they do not like the violin.
What if they don't? Next door, the man break up the room, open and close the drawers to his bureau. I hear him banging while you play. Downstairs, they run the cleaner. Listen. Someone is always coming in or going out. All night long, it is a noise. We can have music. if they have bang and crash and boom all the time.
Yeah. If you think it is all right, I will play.
Yeah. Play the song we used to sing with Frida before the war, hmm?
Ach, Frida. Poor Frida. She's dead, you know.
Yeah, she's gone. So many are gone. That is the way of resistance. In the underground, you live or you die. You escape or you are caught. No one is wounded or captured.
Frida. I remember Frida.
Ich weiß nicht. She used to sing it so beautifully. I remember one night in the...
Someone at your door.
Yeah.
You see, what did I tell you? They do not like the violin.
I go tell them. I say...
I will leave. Tell them I am leaving.
No. Sit down, my friend. It is next door. No one is bothering us. Huh? Forget the neighbors. Now, play Ich weiß nicht, the song we used to sing with Frieda. Hmm?
Yeah, but softly.
As loud as you want to play. I will move out if they don't like it.
Captain Mendo, it's Dean. Dean Harling.
Aha. A woman.
Yeah.
What is it?
A woman screamed.
Where? What happened? What was it?
We stay here. We do not witness. You know what it is to see in the old country during the war? The witness dies, too.
But that was the Nazis, Germany. This is America, the United States.
We stay in the room. Later, the police come.
She said her name. After she knocked, she says her name.
Jean Harling. Come on. Say something. Play. So we will not be afraid.
Strike for waterfront murder. Get your paper, Lake Primer.
Oh, here, Joe.
Oh, thanks. Hey, this new murder, Mr. Keck, this Jean Harling. You figure she did it? A lady like her, money up to here, killing some waterfront mug? It don't seem natural.
The prosecution says he was stabbed.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I always had the idea classy people like her never use a knife for anything but eating. Know what I mean, Mr. Keck?
Yes. Yes, I do. I know what you mean exactly. Here, keep the change.
Oh, thanks, but... Hey, a buck! You gave me a dollar, Mr. Keg. What did I do? What did I say? Hey, Mr. Keg!
If the court pleases.
Yes, Mr. Keg. Please come to the bench.
If it please the court, I would like to enter this case as amicus curiae.
It does please the court, Mr. Keg. I'm very glad this case has interested the man of your reputation and standing in the legal profession. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, your attention. This is Jonathan Keg. He will serve me as amicus curiae during this trial. To explain, he is officially a friend of the court. He serves neither side, prosecution nor defense. Mr. Keg's object is to assist us in arriving at the truth through cross-examination. If there are no questions from the jury, you may proceed, Mr. Keg.
Thank you, Your Honor. I would like to call the defendant, Miss Jean Harling, to the stand. Miss Harling, what was your association with the man known as Captain Juan Mendoz?
He wanted to sell me a map, a treasure map.
You intended to dig for this treasure?
Yes.
But, Miss Harling, isn't your family reputed to be wealthy?
Yes, but I thought it would be fun.
Did you inform your family of this plan?
I told some of my friends. I asked them to go along and make it a party.
How much did the captain ask for his map?
We didn't set a price. I was to go to his room.
You went there alone?
Yes, I knocked on the door to room 301, then waited. He didn't answer. I tried the door. It opened. The captain was lying across the bed with blood.
Mrs. Grogan, who lives down the hall, says she heard a scream, opened her door, and saw you running for the stairway.
That's right.
Why didn't you call the police?
I did.
Yes, after the story was in the newspapers. After you had talked with your lawyers. Why the delay, Miss Harley?
I was upset. I was never in a place like that before. I never saw a murdered man. I was afraid.
Afraid after the murder. Yet you went to such a place unescorted, without a weapon, solely on the strength of a letter from a man you did not know.
That's not true. I knew Captain Mendos. Oh. 2 years ago, I had the cruiser in Haiti. My skipper went ashore, didn't come back, so I hired Captain Mendos for the rest of the trip.
How long did he work for you?
2 months. He was insolent. I fired him.
You parted in anger, then?
I wasn't mad. I just didn't want him around anymore.
Look at this knife.
Yes.
Have you ever seen it before?
No.
This is the murder weapon, Miss Harling. Take a good look at it.
I am.
You knocked. You entered the room. Why did you scream?
I think I saw a man. I'm not sure. That's why I never mentioned it before.
Go on.
A shadow. It might have been the curtain. The window was open. It was like a man climbing out onto the fire escape.
Describe the man.
I can't. He was just a shadow.
Perhaps a shadow created in your mind to divert suspicion.
Oh, you can't say that. I didn't kill Captain Mendos. I didn't.
That will be all, Miss Harling. The next witness, please. I want to question Mr. Burke Kramer, owner of the rooming house. Captain Mendos was your guest, Mr. Kramer?
Checked in the day before he got killed. Came home drunk that night. I told him to get out. I run a clean place, and I don't want any shadow.
You have a criminal record, I believe.
That's why I try to keep a clean place. I don't want to get mixed up with anything since I turned honest.
You knew about the treasure map?
Mendos did mumble something about a map when he came home roaring drunk. I didn't pay no attention.
Where were you when he was murdered?
In my room, alone. No alibi.
You seem to anticipate my questions.
I've had a few shot at me before.
Yes, I'm sure you have. Mr. Kramer, did you know Miss Harling was coming to see Captain Mendos on the night of his death?
All I knew was some woman called him. I answered the phone.
You didn't know her name?
She didn't say. I didn't ask.
Did you see her enter the building?
She walked by my door.
Did you see her leave?
Pushed by me in the stairway. She was in a hurry.
That'll be all.
Guess I didn't help you much, Mr. Keg. That's too bad.
I gained two valuable impressions, Mr. Kramer. You are hiding information, and you do not care to help the court find the Mendos killer. You may expect further questions. Step down, please. Next witness, Gino Arucci. You are employed by Mr. Kramer?
Si.
Did you know Miss Harling was coming to the rooming house the night of the murder?
I hear Captain Mendos talk on phone. She wished to buy the treasure map.
You knew about the map, too?
I am the one who tell Mr. Kramer. I don't wish to speak, but he twists my arm so it break. I tell.
Oh, he forced you to speak?
See? He say if I tell Mendos anything, he kill me.
Now go on.
Later, he talk with Mendos. I listen. Kramer wants part of the money for the map, or he will tell the police on Mendos.
Tell them what?
Mendos sneak into the country.
Did Mendos agree?
He say he killed Kramer.
Gino, did you see Miss Harling the night of the murder?
I see her. I hear a woman scream. I run down from upstairs and see her run away.
What were you doing upstairs?
Anyone will tell you. They hear me. I clean the hall with my sweeper.
At 9 o'clock at night?
See, I have nothing else to do. I like sweeper. All other cleaning boys have broom. Gino have sweeper.
I see. You've done very well since you've been in this country.
See, I have machine to clean for me.
Thank you, Gino. That'll be all.
I go back to work now.
Please stay in the courtroom, Gino. I may have to ask more questions.
Thank you.
Your Honor, I would like to request a recess until tomorrow. At that time, I would like to cross-examine an innocent bystander to the Mendos murder.
Court will recess until tomorrow at 9 o'clock. And we'll call whomever you wish, Mr. Keg. And that person must testify.
Jonathan Keg is about to call another witness. It could be you. If it were, could you remember what you have heard? It would be vital that you do, for you would hold a life in your hands. Over over 27,000 people will be accidentally killed in their homes this year. And unless you're careful, you or a member of your family may be one of them. So safety check your home and practice good housekeeping. Anchor throw rugs. Keep stairways cleared. Keep lamp cords and switches repaired. Use safe ladders. And be careful with inflammable liquids. Make home safety a family affair. Jonathan Kegg has called as his next witness Franz Gelkin, a roomer on the same floor as Juan Mendoz.
Franz Gelkin?
Yeah, that is me.
Your occupation?
I'm a watchmaker.
Where were you on the night Juan Mendoz met his death?
In the next room.
You seem nervous, upset, Mr. Gelkin.
I have told you that I know nothing, nothing.
Your Honor, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, my witness was a member of the underground in Germany during the war. I have tried to assure Mr. Gelkin that he is not on trial and is in no personal danger. I hope you will understand if I have difficulty in this cross-examination.
Mr. Gelkin, our purpose is to find a killer and protect the innocent. The court is aware of your experience. However, we would appreciate your cooperation with Mr. Cake.
Mr. Gelkin?
I understand.
Now, I want you to recall every sound you heard that might have a bearing on the murder. What were you doing at the time?
Hermann, he's my friend. Hermann was playing the violin. We had some beer. We talked and I listened.
You were concentrating on the music?
Yeah.
You wanted to hear the violin. Were there other noises which bothered you?
Oh, this place is terrible where I live. The walls they make from cardboard. You can hear people snore. They boom, they bang, they crash. I get used to it. I pay no attention.
A man was murdered in the next room, Mr. Gelkin. Now try to recall what you heard.
I think. I try, but nothing.
Your Honor, I would like to make an unusual request.
Proceed, Mr. King.
As you know, memory is linked with the situation. Using this principle, I would like to ask Mr. Gelkin's friend, Hermann Kleiner, to play the music he did the night of the murder.
It is irregular, but I will grant your request. Is Hermann Kleiner present in the court?
He is, Your Honor. Will you please help us, Mr. Kleiner?
Yeah, I help.
Now, Mr. Gelkin, try to concentrate on the room you're in, the music, everything that happened.
Yeah.
And speak whatever comes to your mind.
I close my eyes.
That might help.
We talked about the neighbors. Maybe they do not like the violin. Maybe the man next door open and close drawers to his bureau. Bang, crash. After a while, he goes out.
Later, the door opened and closed. Did you hear a key in the lock? Now, think carefully.
A key? Yeah, there was a key.
Then someone entered the room. Probably Captain Mendoz.
Yeah, that is right. The room is quiet. I hear the boy cleaning with the sweeper upstairs. It keeps running. The woman comes to the door. We think it is our door. She knocks. We talk about Frida's song. Then the knock comes again. We know it is next door. She says her name is Jean. It is Jean Harling. The door opens and we hear the scream.
How long after the door opened?
A moment. 2 or 3 seconds.
What did you and Mr. Kleiner do after you heard the scream?
We sat in the room. We were afraid. In Germany, if you see too much, they kill you also.
We understand, Mr. Gelkin. And now, to sum it up, bureau drawers were opened and closed. Someone entered the room. It was quiet until Miss Harling knocked. She entered and seconds later screamed.
Yeah, that is what I hear.
There was one other sound, a cleaner. An old-style vacuum sweeper running on the floor above.
Yeah, that is so. The boy, he pushes it around all the time.
If the court please, I wish to demonstrate the sound of that sweeper.
If you feel it has a bearing on the case, proceed, Mr. King.
The machine would be passing back and forth over a rug. It would sound like this. If the machine is standing in one place, if it is not being used, it will sound like this. Mr. Gelkin, which sound did you hear? This The sweeper in motion. Or this, the sweeper standing in place.
That was it. That was what I hear.
Thank you, Franz Gelfin. You, an innocent bystander, have supplied us with information that will lead us to the killer. Your Honor, three people knew about the treasure map. Gene Harling, Gino Arucci, and Bert Kramer. Only one admits going to the murder room.
I didn't kill Captain Mendoz. You must believe me.
From the time you opened the door to the moment you screamed, there wasn't time. You are innocent, thanks to the testimony of Franz Gelfin. But you, Mr. Kramer, have no such alibi.
I was in my room.
Can you prove that?
No. You know I can't. But I didn't murder the swab. I wouldn't dirty my hands with him.
You have a good motive. Money. You have a record of crime. You cannot account for your actions during the time of the murder.
Sure, but I didn't kill him.
We shall see, Mr. Kramer. The only person with an acceptable alibi is Gino Arucci. Mr. Arucci, will you take the stand? Gino, you hate Bert Kramer, don't you?
See, I hate him.
Where were you when Captain Mendoz was killed?
I tell you, in the room above.
You said the hall.
See, in the hall too.
You were cleaning the room. You saw the open window, the fire escape. You climbed down to search for Captain Mendoz's treasure map.
Kramer will not have it. I won't let him have it. I take it away from him.
Mendoz returned. He found you in his room, so you killed him with this knife.
I do not want to kill Captain Mendoz, but he twisted my arm like Kramer. I'm blind with hate. I think only of Kramer.
So you stabbed Mendoz. You left the room when Miss Harling entered. She saw your shadow. Now, Gino, what did you do with the map?
In my sweeper. I hide it in the bag of my sweeper.
The sweeper you left running to cover your actions while you searched Captain Mendoz's room.
See, where the sweeper is, there is also Gino. Everybody says this to me. Everybody knows this.
Yes, Gino. Your Honor, Franz Gelfin's testimony leads us to an unusual murderer. Gino Arucci killed one man to revenge the injustice of another. A brutal man who twisted his arm.
Bailiff, hold Arucci for the murder of Juan Mendoz. Keg, this court owes you a vote of thanks. We greatly appreciate your help in bringing out the truth in this case.
That's very kind of you, Your Honor, but the thanks should go to our innocent bystander, Mr. Franz Gelfin.
You're right, of course, Mr. Keg. We can only hope that all Americans will heed this lesson in real citizenship from a newcomer to our land.
Thank you, and good night.
Good night, Mr. Keg.
A Life in Your Hands is created by Earl Stanley Gardner, with script by Doug Johnson, directed by John Cowan. Jonathan Keg is played by Carlton Cadell, with musical effects by Adele Scott, conducted by Whitey Berquist. This has been a partially transcribed Bell production. And this is George Stone extending a cordial invitation for each of you to be with us again next week, when the National Broadcasting Company will again place A Life in Your Hands. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.